Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. This week's podcast is going to be more Lion-y than the film Born Free. And as always, I am joined by Phil in studio. Hello, Phil.
Hello, JB.
And all the way in the Egg Chasers shipping container by, of course, Tim. Hello, Tim.
Have you faded down, Tim?
Hello, Tim.
I'm here, hello.
Hooray, Tim. Yes, I have actually faded down Tim. There we go. You can find us on Acast, on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, to follow us on Facebook, and of course there is the brand new Instagram account, which I still don't have access to, but it's very good fun, so go and follow us there.
Probably for the best that you don't have access to it.
Almost certainly. And it's not even a meme-y hell, there's actually good things on there.
It's great, some brilliant pictures.
Yeah, well done Tim, well done you.
So like Instagram to you is potentially meme-y hell, like Twitter is potentially giffy hell.
Oh yeah. Hang on, aren't gifs and memes the same thing?
Pretty much.
A gif can be a meme, but a meme is not necessarily a gif.
Right. Kids. I started looking at ladies that do CrossFit on Instagram. That's pretty much what it's for, isn't it?
No comment.
Excellent.
No comment on players' girlfriends.
Wow. Right, so we've had a game this morning. Did anyone watch it?
Yeah.
I watched the end of the second half live because I saw it was getting tasty, and then since I've been home from work I've rewatched the whole thing.
And what was the overall feel?
Tim, you watched it live. What were your kind of big takeaways?
Deflated feeling afterwards. Felt like we'd gone two steps forward and one and a half steps back.
Yeah.
The biggest issue, and which cost the Lions the game, penalties, handling errors.
Yes, and yes.
Yes, 100%. Loads of penalties. The handling errors were atrocious.
Yeah, and considering they're playing inside in dry, wind-free conditions.
Yeah.
There should have been, well, certainly nowhere near the number of handling errors that there were.
Right.
So, here's where I stand on this. We've been very quick, and kind of rightly so, actually, to mock the coaching of Rob Howley. He mentioned chaos in a time when it's terrible to mention chaos.
Everyone who mentions chaos, it comes back to bite them in their arse.
Oh, God, yeah. But I'm feeling a bit sorry for him. If the players can't catch a ball, how can he coach? I mean, it's a serious issue.
Chicken and egg, I can't help but feel.
These are the best players in the Northern Hemisphere, and their skill level has been abysmal so far.
There's definitely a bit of that, and there's so many passes that just you wouldn't see New Zealanders putting the ball and making the player you're passing to have to stop and check their run.
Do you know what?
So often.
I'm going to disagree with you, because that's exactly what we're seeing. It's like it's contagious. I mean, the Crusaders were awful for doing that. I mean, their error count was just as high as the Lions today. Even the Blues were a bit scrappy.
The Blues were scrappy. Highlanders were... It felt like a mixed bag. They did some brilliant things.
Yeah.
And the more I can talk about why Saki Naholo, the better.
Oh, he's quite good, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes, which is very worrying considering he's maybe third choice wing for the All Blacks.
Yeah, it is a bit worrying.
One thing I noticed today that I think JB will love. So the crowd, the Highlanders crowd in Dunedin, was singing to the Seven Nation Army tune. Oh, Waisakinaholo. The British and Irish Lions, one pocket of them, from what I could tell, the reaction that they did was to sing, oh, Jeremy Corbyn. Politics and rugby, let's not mix those.
Yeah,
as for the action on the field, yes, penalties, handling errors, Waisakinaholo was outstanding. Marty Banks was pretty tidy as well.
Was he? I thought he was okay in phases. He missed a kick. He was good.
I thought he played well, particularly coming on and playing out of position.
Yeah, so, okay, here is my stance on this. So we've always spoke about the handling errors. And we've always said you can't coach a team attacking rugby if they can't catch a ball, which is fair. I mean, like, for instance, the Sinclair break and then the subsequent pass after that was an absolute shambles.
Well, and that has not been the only one. There's been multiple examples on this tour of people making good breaks and then not finishing it off.
So that's a bit of a disaster. But I noticed today there were a lot of offloads and a lot of this quote-unquote chaos. Now, I'm not sure if I'm reading too much into it or what. I'm actually relatively encouraged because I think it's quite a smart strategy, actually. I mean, yes, the players are dropping balls, but I can kind of see where it's going. You can't put in a really complex game plan, so why not give it a go? Now, the disappointing thing for me, by far the most disappointing thing, was the scrum and the impact off the bench, and in particular, the performance of Dan Cole.
Dan Cole got destroyed in one scrum. He got picked
hammered.
Up. It's like someone was picking up a 19-stone baby.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Exactly
in fact.
Like that. It was really, really poor. And you expect from a Lions bench to come off and do a job, and they did no such thing.
Yeah. So the players who were disappointing. So Laidlaw came on.
Yeah.
Everything immediately slowed down, and decision making wasn't as good. Dan Cole, you've already mentioned, and Alan Wynne-Jones. I thought. Certainly compared to Laws, who was brilliant for the first 25 minutes. Alan Wynne-Jones was a big step backwards. It felt you're taking the ball static. He got held up at one point. How do you hold up a 19-stone man?
Yeah, I saw that.
And what's worse, the man who joined him was Dan Cole. And instead of driving Alan Wynne-Jones to the ground, he just kind of spun round in a circle.
Thing is, though, I mean, not to make excuses for Alan Wynne, but it's hell of an ask to play that Saturday game and then play a game on Tuesday. I mean,
you're right.
That's huge. But he's on the field. Do a job. Don't cry about it. It's Lions tour. So let's break this down into good and bad, right? So the good thing, the Lions have definitely got the best three fly halves. I'm convinced on that. I'm convinced that their selection is right.
Wait. The best three fly halves in New Zealand or the best three available to them?
Available to them.
Okay.
I'm not sure that was ever in doubt.
Well, Finn Russell might have something to say about that. George Ford. Maybe. I mean, England have got four fly halves at any one time.
To be fair, Finn Russell and George Ford both had outstanding games at the weekend.
Yeah. The other thing is the competition at nine is red hot. I mean, try and pick one of those two.
For one and two, it's red hot.
Yeah.
Locks, it's like the fact that Courtney Laws, if he had stayed fit, probably even if he'd have carried on playing 80 minutes at the quality that he was playing, still wouldn't make a test squad.
What?
That says everything about the fact that how strong that area of the game is.
Do you really mean that?
Yeah, totally. I don't think he was in line for the test squad.
I think he played his way into it.
That says how good everyone else is.
You're right. Going into the tour, he was probably fourth choice.
I don't know about that, you know.
But that performance, that again, it was 25 minutes, temper it, but it was a hell of a 25 minutes. He was incredible.
Probably going to be unavailable now, but I think I look at that team today that lost, and they have the look of, and the same with the game last week against the Auckland Blues, it has the look of midweek dirt trackers that aren't aren't going to be in the squad. Anybody in that team you think will make the test squad starting today?
I think Payne might start. I think his positional awareness is brilliant, and if that line speed is a real factor and a real feature of the Lions' defence, you're going to need someone who smartly covers that little crossfield kick. And Payne does that brilliantly.
He's a good player and a good utility man, and could sneak on the bench. No, he won't.
He
will not make the test squad. So even on the bench, no chance.
I would agree with you until Stuart Hogg got injured. And it now comes down to almost a binary choice. Do you go for strong and stable, for want of a better phrase? Do you go for defensive, in which case you go for Jarrad Payne, or do you go for attacking, in which case you go for Liam Williams or Anthony Watson?
Do you know what I think Warren Gatland's going to do? He's going to go out of form Lee Halfpenny.
I think that's probably right, to be honest.
I would be so upset if that happens.
See, I know you like to bash Halfpenny, but I'm convinced you've just not watched him. So I think Payne and Halfpenny are the two most likely to play fullback. The reason being is because, as I will go back to, that line speed is going to be so important.
Yeah.
With the line speed being so important, the obvious solution for the All Blacks is going to be to kick behind. You need someone whose positioning is excellent. And I think, actually, it's going to be a coin flip between Halfpenny and Payne for that reason. And I think Payne will get it. I really do.
So I think you're probably right. I think they will go for a more defensive option, and it will end up being Payne or Halfpenny.
Yeah.
I think Gatland's...
It's Halfpenny with Watson on the bench.
It's probably, yeah, Gatland is more likely to go for Halfpenny.
But who would Farrell go for? I mean, because that's what you need to look at.
And who would... What you really need to look at, because Beauden Barrett is so good at that cross-field kick pass, who would Beauden Barrett least like to be defending there?
Mm.
And possibly Halfpenny.
Yeah, no, what? Exactly. It's not easy.
If the Lions try and pick players to cancel out All Black elements, it's not how you're going to win.
I think it is, because they're not cancelling out things, they're facilitating this defence.
Yeah, I'm... I said it on Sunday. I'm in such a negative mindset. I've predicted 3-0 prior to the tournament. I still think it's going to be 3-0. I think the best chance that the Lions have is to play the defensive press that they played against the Crusaders and execute it near perfectly.
Yeah.
That is the only way I can see
Weirdly,
the Lions winning.
I am getting more and more confident. As time goes by, I'm seeing... I mean, the game today was lost, right? But it could easily have been won. They just needed to catch a few more balls. And that
they
will...
Were not,
and that
they
will
were come. 9 points up with 20 to go. What are they doing losing that game?
Exactly. So it is winnable. So the other thing I would say as well is, if you're looking for players that might start, I think it's going to be another coin flip between Jonathan Joseph and JD2.
I'm with you on that one.
So I'm far from thinking that this is just dirt trackers. I think there's some real contenders here.
So outside of Jarrad Payne, who me and Phil are pretty much writing off, or Jonathan Joseph, who I agree has put his hand up a little bit, and Reece Webb, who will be on the bench, I imagine. I don't see anything else to... So we've got three maybes.
Warburton?
See, I don't... I
think Laws has got a huge shout to get in.
Sam's got a huge shout to get in. 5 tackles, 4 carries in that match.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah, he did actually have a quiet game. But the thing is, no one ever counts the amount of rucks that you hit or the amount of ball that you slow down. I mean, people just don't...
That's one feature of the Lions game which I've been a bit disappointed by. You talked about offloads not really working and stuff. There doesn't seem to be enough people following people through when they do make a half break. You see quite a lot of guys get isolated.
I'm with you on that, Tim. Just your point before, Jay, I thought the Lions' offloading game was limited, and it was... There were guys looking for the offload,
yeah,
but the support wasn't there.
Yeah. There was like a passage in the second half right towards the end where they had a lot of offloads, but it kind of didn't, for no particular reason that I could see. So,
and not wanting to get too tactical, but one thing I noticed was George North has had a very quiet games in what he's played. Jack Noll was very quiet today in the game he played.
He was.
And those two wingers who need and are at their best when they come in looking for work, Jack Noll didn't do anything of that, which makes me think that that's tactical. They just want the wingers to keep the width. And I don't know. I just wonder if they're trying to hold this position on the field and not get out of, I don't know. That's what loosen up a bit.
That is a very Welsh way of playing. As in, wingers hold the width, play all the way one way to one touchline.
Come all the way back.
Hit the winger, come all the way back to the other touchline, hit the winger, and hopefully somewhere in between the two touchlines you've found your break. So I think you're probably right, Tim. I think that's a deliberate tactic, and that's probably one of the limitations of Rob Howley.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, one thing Warren Gatland has said is that the team that plays the New Zealand Maori will probably be, as near as damn it, a test team. So let's effectively pick our team, because it hasn't been announced at the time of recording this. Let's just go quickly 1-15, pick our team that we think will start against the Maori, and therefore is effectively what we're predicting at this stage, having seen people at this stage, who will be the test side.
So Furlon, Mako and the Sheriff.
Jamie George.
I know, good with Jamie George.
Yeah, we're all agreed there with Ken Owens on the bench, Jack McGrath and Carl Sinclair.
Yes.
Good bench impact there.
Second row.
Crew Todgy.
I think you're right. I think we might have seen Cruis and Alan Wynne, but particularly given that Alan Wynne's just played 60 minutes on the back of a Saturday game as well, I think we'll see Cruis and Itodji.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Are we picking a test side or a side?
The side for the Maoris.
Yeah, I agree with that. It has to be.
Back row?
There's no way. It has to be Crusaders for me. Amani, O'Brien, Faletau.
Yeah, there's no way you can start Warburton again. You'll put him on the bench, surely.
You couldn't start him even if Warburton played out of his skin, because he's just played, but he didn't play out of his skin. No. He's not going to start. Well, he shouldn't start the test, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yep, fine.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it's probably CJ Stander on the bench.
I did think CJ had a good game today.
CJ had a pretty poor game. But Warburton, as I think we talked about this in the past when we were talking about Warburton maybe not being in the Welsh starting lineup. And I think Jay made the point. He said Warburton's not the sort of guy that makes sense having on the bench.
No, he's really not. I just
agree.
We've got Stander, we've got Faletau. Who is the other eight? Is there another eight in there?
Moriarty.
Tipperick might be a pro player you have on the bench.
Yeah, Moriarty. He's going to be considered in some form, isn't he? He's only had one game.
Well, yeah, it's a bit weird that he wasn't considered for this game, in fact.
Yeah, watch out for that one. There's obviously something going on.
What are they thinking there?
He is abrasive, destructive runner, very good work rate.
Big hitter.
He might have.
Do you know who he is? He reminds me of the All Black Six. What's his name?
Kano.
Yeah. Oh. He's like the white Jerome Kane.
Slightly more South Walian.
Yes, South Walian tattoo. Worst tattoos.
Similar number, but just less artistic.
Yeah, less tribal.
Yeah.
Unless your tribe's, you know, some South Walian mining village or something. So he's going to have a shout or have to be involved somewhere.
Yeah, he will do. And Tipperick feels like he's been underutilised.
Yes, this is interesting. So it's going to be Murray, Farrell tail?
I think it probably will. Although there's just something that's making me wonder whether Warren Gatland has been playing the long con and is going to come out after having made all this big play about, oh no, they're both 10.
Rhys Priestland.
Farrell's a 10. Yeah, he's going to call up Rhys Priestland and get him in. Having made all this chat about the Farrell and Sexton both being 10s, I just wonder if he's playing a long con and he's going to whip that out at the last minute. And because when they did play together for that short period of time in that, what was that? Was that the Crusaders game?
They
looked good together, which made me think they have been practicing this.
We saw it in both the Crusaders and the Provincial Barbarians game.
See, I think it's kind of like a needs must. They put him on the bench and then things happen and then you know you've got, it's kind of like the option you don't want to use, but it's the easy option.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd be putting a winger. Yeah. And then moving someone inside.
Yeah, it's like going back to...
Could you imagine Gatland have it just playing a trick like that?
Yes.
Yes.
The Farrell-Sexton Farrell thing, it's an easy choice, but it's wrong. It's like going back to an ex's house some years afterwards. It's easy, but you know it's wrong.
So what you're saying is Johnny Sexton is a late-night booty call for Warren Gatland.
No, Farrell is. Farrell's a booty call, I'd say.
It's the combo.
It's
playing them together. See, 90% of the time it seems like a terrible idea, but then all of a sudden it seems like a great idea.
Exactly. That is a thought. That is how professional rugby players are selected. And I'll tell you why it is. It's because I think comfortably the best duo we've seen so far in terms of partnership are JD2 and Tio together. They're so powerful.
Yeah, they are powerful. Defensively good. The one thing they do lack is that distribution.
Yeah.
But if you go back to my binary playing attack or defence, if you're playing a defensive situation, they're brilliant.
Yeah.
If it's that negative game plan.
Yeah, and also, does that kind of change the playmaker? So if you have those two big runners, does that mean you want Sexton? Because he's a little bit more of a playmaker than, say, Farrell is.
Farrell's playing. Farrell and Furlong are the two first names on the sheet. They're the easiest selections to make.
Yeah,
and
I think you're
the right. The fact, Furlong, Faletau,
you're probably
Murray as well.
Yeah.
Easy selections.
Yes, I think you are right. And what is disappointing, now we know Hogg's out, you've probably got two who previously would have been those first names on the team sheet, or certainly first five in Hogg and Billy Vunipola.
So, do you know what? The back three, I think it's going to be Payne. The wings is basically a toss-up. I don't have anyone who's been outstanding so far.
Probably Liam Williams and Watson.
It's not
probably
great.
But
it's not great, though, is it?
I'd like it to be. I think it will be North and Williams, and I'm hoping Watson at fullback. I'm going back to what you were saying, Phil. I think you're probably right. I'm expecting to see Halfpenny. I'm expecting to see North. I'm expecting to see JD2. I hope that I don't, because I would like them to go for the Jaffers. The problem is, yes, maybe it is the Lions' best chance of winning to do this kind of boa constrictor, pile the pressure on. But the second, and all the All Blacks can score like that, the second they do, game plan's over and your chance of winning is gone.
Didn't happen that way for Ireland.
Ireland did build up a lead
and held on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's... I think the only way forward is to work hard and get their basics right on defence and kick chase and set piece. And, you know, the attack will come eventually. I mean, these guys aren't superhuman. They're very, very good. But I think power getting over the game line, it's just basics. That's what will beat them. Really good basics by excellent players.
Hopefully the basics that will get added to is basic handling skills.
Oh, they should just do catching and passing. Do you remember Toby Booth when he went... when he took London Irish to a final?
Yes. Brendan Venter era.
Yeah, was it Brendan Venter era?
Casey and Kennedy and that.
Yeah. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that that Toby Booth made them all dive into like paddling pool to get nice and wet for the handling session to get used to the rain and the wetness. I kind of think this is what the sort of thing that the Lions should be doing, because the amount of drop balls is just unusual for such good players.
It is unusual. You're right.
They were under a roof today.
Yeah.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
They were still, and they were still dropping balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I'm trying to make excuses for them.
No, they really no excuses in this one.
Wind?
Nope.
Oh.
Closed stadium.
Right.
No wind, no wet. Yeah.
Right, well, that's my theory gone.
So anyway, well, that's kind of between us. We've sort of got some consensus, some areas of disagreement on what our team will be. Tell us what you think, and we'll see soon enough what Warren Gatland thinks, which is, I guess, is the most important one.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that by the time you've listened to this, Gatland's team will have already been announced.
We could look really, some or but all of us could look really silly.
I can't see it. Because we predicted based on who he knows played games, who he knows available, and the fact that Gatland has previously stated that he wants to play a near test team.
Yeah, the two wild cards, Tipperick, Moriarty.
Another wild card is he did put Elliot Daly in at fullback.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan.
I think Daly. I said it on Sunday. I think we could see a 6-2 split on the bench. And Daly would be your man to cover.
Yeah,
you'd have Reece Webb and Elliot Daly, but you can only really play that if you play
Farrell on as well.
Farrell and Sexton in the same starting lineup.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
it does give you, it gives you that flexibility to play the calls, six forwards on the bench, which will be massive.
I mean, the people calling for Daly to play at fullback, he's definitely good enough to play club fullback, but I think you need to be there week in, week out in order to be a top-notch international fullback. And I think,
well, he seems to be not considering Liam Williams as a fullback on this tour, despite a hog.
I'm starting to think this might be due to Andy Farrell rather than Gatland, though.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say it a third time. I think it's just due to defensive systems. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I think.
So I read in, so on Saturday when Hogg got injured, he moved Watson there rather than Williams. I think that was just more because he wanted to see Williams play as a winger outside JD2, Owen Farrell and Pete Teo. More because that is the majority of the back line. So you keep Williams in position and Watson moves to 15.
Mm.
Now we know that Hogg's out, it is a different scenario.
What one funny tweet I saw earlier was the suggestion calling Conor Murray the Murinator. He's and suggesting he's been sent back in time to terminate the last two Scottish Lions. He's done with.
Very good.
Who is, got to get Seymour.
Who was the other Scottish Lion that he terminated?
No, he's just got Seymour to take out now.
Ah, brilliant. Yep.
Yeah. Did you see the gift giving at the start of the test match?
Yes. Was this a spear? Or was that the end?
A claymore. The spear
what,
was
a mine?
The man of the match at the end. It was a claymore sword.
Oh, right. Not as a landmine.
A ceremonial landmine.
Controversial. Bury it in your back garden, tell the kids. You have to put like stakes around it and danger tape. What's that, my ceremonial claymore?
No dogs, please, no dogs.
There was no hat today, B. It was a fella in a kilt who walked out with a 4-foot sword and handed it to Sam Warburton. It looked like what do I do with this sword?
Yeah, the guy walked out, so I think it was the forwards coach for the Highlanders. He walked out with his son or some young lad. The captain took it, so they walked out to the centre circle. Captain took it, handed it to Warburton. Warburton looked at it and then had to walk all the way back to the edge of the pitch to hand it to someone else.
So
thanks.
A few years ago, I was roped in because I had an ankle injury, I think. I was roped in to referee a game. It must be about 3-4 years ago now. And it was only a friendly, a touring team. And pre-game, they offered me some whiskey. And then as they came out to bagpipes and they carried a sword all the way out to the 14 pitch.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool, eh?
And yes, the whiskey's definitely cool.
And I seem to remember a certain Tim Cocker running around a sevens pitch with a sword once.
With a sword?
Yeah.
Was this...
What? Oh, yes, when the Chorlton Knights, when they had our... Yeah.
The short-lived Sevens team, and not very successful Sevens team, the Charlton Knights. Huzzah!
When you were playing.
Huh?
When Phil was actually playing rugby.
Yeah, when he cost us that game.
When I carried the whole team through half a tournament.
Couldn't finish that try, could you, mate? So I'd have finished it. So, yeah, where were we? Actual real rugby, real-life professional rugby. Yeah, well, let's just see how this team pans out then.
Indeed.
Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about?
There's other stuff that has been news that's been breaking, but we should probably say for Sunday, like Carl Ferns saying he's definitely staying at, he's definitely not going to Gloucester, and Ruan Pienaar being confirmed he's going to Montpellier on a 3-year deal. So there's other stuff. And the Under-20s World Cup, actually, I need to check that. When's the England game? Is that today? They beat South Africa to reach the final, England under-20s.
So Georgia have been playing Argentina. I don't know when that was held. I know, who else is playing? All Blacks France?
There you go. England beat South Africa 24-22. Zach Mercer got a brace of tries.
I bet he kills it at age grade.
Yeah.
I bet he's amazing.
He is. Yeah. He's captain in the side and he's pretty handy.
Pretty good.
So so other than that, you sound like you had something on your mind though, Phil, you were about to say.
No, it's just those two transfer. The news that has been confirmed today was the news that we've been talking about for just a little while.
Well, I know. Let's leave it at this, and listeners can join in too. On Sunday, I want you and you, Tim, to come up with your best 8, 9, 8, 10 axis in world rugby and see if you can beat Pienaar, Pickermoles, Cruden. If anyone can do that, I'd be interested to know. They've got to be playing in the same team.
They've got to be playing in the same team, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. Or any time.
Yeah, so playing in a club team at any time.
Yeah.
The Saracens' current Billy Wigglesworth Farrell has got to push him close.
Would you pick Wigglesworth over Pienaar?
No, I'd pick Pienaar over Wigglesworth, but I'd probably pick...
Pickermole, Pienaar, Cruden is pretty tasty, isn't it?
It is. I'd probably slot Pienaar into the Saracens 8 and 10.
Well, that isn't the game, is it, Phil?
So what I'm saying is I'd have the Saracens over the Montpellier.
Mm. All right, so club or province or whatever, 8, 9, 10, past or present, best one think of.
Yes.
Exactly right. Right, that's at Rugby Podcast. Shall we leave it there, gents?
Yeah, good shout.
Excellent. See you tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday? Or all of them?
All of them. Or I think we should do a... Because this is a big game. Even if it's just a quick takeaway, I think Thursday night we should reconvene and do a brief one. Wednesday when the teams are there.
Yeah.
So you say it, Phil.
The evening that the teams are out, we will get together and do another 20, 30 minutes.
Actually, we'll talk about this off air. All right, and at Rugby Podcast, at Acast, on Instagram, on Facebook, and of course, go to Cornerstone, sign up using eggchase.com/cornerstone.
Hold on. Do not throw that away at the side, right? Seriously, we're getting new listeners all the time, and so I'm just worried that people might not understand how amazing Cornerstone is if we just gloss over it like that.
It's the best razor
on the market.
I have one.
Yeah, it's our favourite razor on the market. For me, it's way better than Wilkinson Sword. For me, it's way better than Gillette. And for me, if you're using one of those two brands, I would argue you are using an inferior product and you need to get your head checked. And the good news is it's only £4 to give this a go. So we're talking less than the price of a pint. So you just £4, and that's because you get a £10 discount on your first order with us. So go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers and you will get a presentation box delivered to you with your 6 razors with a free aluminium engraved shaft, German precision engineered razor. Best one I believe you can get. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg10 at checkouts.
Nice.
Excellent.
Right. Goodbye.
Later.
Bye, Tim.
In a bit.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.